talking with Dustin Green, one of the head grill masters over at Weber Grill today, answering questions about grilling that you may have. 312-981-7200 to either text or call in. We'd love to hear from you on the phone if you've got questions, recipe questions. So, Dustin, I just got the Weber Hub. You know what this is, right? The Weber Hub?
I do. Our teams, they played an integral role in helping with the data collection of that product and helping with just making it what it is.
It's called the Smart Grilling Hub. And what it is, it's like it almost looks like a TV remote maybe, or cell phone, something like that. But you plug into this hub some probes. One end plugs into the hub, and the other you stick into whatever it is that you're cooking on the grill. I mean, that's often a problem when you're making something on a grill, to know when the internal temperature is at the point where you want it. I happen to use it for some salmon that I was doing on the grill. And for salmon, I like to get it to about 150 degrees internal. Does that sound right to you?
It does. And, you know, salmon's one of those fish where some people like it a little less done than others. But, you know, that's the great part about the Connect Hub is, you know, there are certain, you know, we have different temperatures that you can select. So if somebody wants it a little, like, less done, or somebody wants it a little bit more done, it has the ability to help get everybody that temperature, that doneness that they'd like.
So what is the temperature that you would recommend with this? Am I going too high or too low? I thought I just wanted to be safe. That's all.
Well, you know, for me, it's, you know, I like to talk about fish and is it cooked or raw, you know, raw would be in sushi. But, you know, for me, a doneness for fish, I like to pull my salmon about 135.
Oh, 135.
And
okay.
Well, Dean, what we know is that even though you take your food off the grill, it's still going to cook a little bit.
Right.
And we know it's going to cook for about 5 minutes. And in those 5 minutes, like for salmon specifically, it's going to raise about another 12 to 14, 15 degrees. So you're going to be at that 150 that you're looking for,
yeah,
by taking it off at 135.
Okay, well, I mean, it was fine. I mean, it wasn't dry or anything like that. I took it off when it was 150, but and I guess continued to cook, but it was perfectly fine, perfectly delicious. But here's the deal that I want everybody to know with this hub. You know, that one of the probes, one end of the probe goes into the hub, one end went into the center of the salmon fillet. So, and then you set up the hub, so the hub talks to your iPhone or your phone, whatever kind of phone you have. You get the Weber Hub app, and it tells you when it gets to the point, the temperature, the internal temperature that you want. So there's no more guessing. There's no more going out there with an instant read thermometer, which is also still great, you know, and getting there too late and finding out that you've overcooked it. This hub tells you, it alerts you on your phone when your food is cooked to the proper temperature. This is the greatest invention ever, Dustin.
You know, we try, and it's one of those things is we want to have as many people have successful and great experiences grilling as they can, and this device really does that. You know, we bring precision grilling, you know, to the backyard, and it is virtually like having a grill master standing next to you. You know, we've had a lot of work and a lot of great people, you know, with input into these programs, and, you know, we just kind of tried to run the gamut of what are people going to cook and what do they want to cook.
Yeah, it's called the Weber Connect Smart Grilling Hub, if anybody is interested in that. Whenever I talk about grilling on the show, I always get about a half a dozen questions of people asking, what's the best way to do corn on the cob? Because I've said many times on the show that if you take corn on the cob and you boil it, you should go to jail. It should be punishable by going to prison for killing perfectly good corn on the cob by boiling it. It must be roasted so you can caramelize those flavors and the sugars in the corn. Question is, do you do it in the husk? Do you do it completely without the husk, just the kernels right on the grill? Or do you do it wrapped in aluminum foil? What say you, grill master?
For me, I look at it two different ways. One way I like is actually, honestly, I just put it in the husk. And you can peel it back a little bit. You can rub it with a little bit of butter, put the husk back on, and throw it back on the grill. My kids like it cooked that way because they don't like a lot of color on their corn. Like, they like it cooked. They like it hot. But when they kind of see color, they're like, I don't know about that.
Mm. Yeah, they might have to go to jail. They might have to go to jail, too.
they might. You know, I'd hate to say that, but they might. But in the same respect, though, too, if I'm making like a really great like black bean and corn salad or something where I want that color and I want to add that extra layer of flavor, then I'll take it out of the husk. I totally peel everything off of it, the silt, hit it with that butter, a little salt and pepper, and I'll grill it to get those, you know, that beautiful color caramelization, add more flavor, and it works that way perfect.
I recently did it for the very first time without a husk, without aluminum foil. I completely peeled it off so I could get rid of all the mess because, you know, when you cook it in the husk, it's great. This is what I do when I have done it in the husk. I soak it in water so, you know, there is some steaming that goes on inside of the husk when I put it on there. And then, you know, I turn it about every 7 minutes or so. And then when I'm taking the husk and the silk off, it's kind of a mess. So I prefer to do that ahead of time, get rid of all that stuff ahead of time. I would always then do it and wrap it in aluminum foil with some garlic butter. And that came out perfectly fine. And then someone said, try it without the aluminum. And just the other day, I did it for the first time without anything. I coated the ears of corn with olive oil, put it on the grill, again, turned it about every 7 minutes, till it got to the doneness that I wanted, and it was absolutely delicious. No fuss, no mess.
It's making my mouth water. Sounds incredible.
How do you have a preferred way of doing it?
You know, I'm the same. Like I said, sometimes I'll put it on in the husk, and you're right, though, is it does. It's a little bit harder to clean at the end. So, you know, if you do open it up, you peel it up and clean it up, it'll definitely be easier to do that on the front end than on the back end. But I definitely don't put it in foil because you're 100% correct. At that point, you're just steaming it. You may as well throw it in that pot of water and boil it. And I don't want to do that.
Okay.
So, you know, any way we can get that extra flavor, that grilling, that nice grilled goodness to it, you can't go wrong.
Got to get the caramelization on there. So then once it's done, I'm strictly a salt. And I occasionally will put some cayenne pepper on it. Do you get all fancy with other things on your corn on the cob too?
You know what? It depends on my audience. You know, for my family, we keep it simple. We're butter, salt, and pepper people. You know, if we're going to go and have a nice big meal and we're looking to kind of lay that extra layer on there, you know, I might do it like a Mexican street corn style and add, like you said, you know, you got the paprika and the cheese and all that different stuff that you're going to put on it and do it up really fancy. But it just depends on the crowd.
So when you're saying Mexican street corn, what are you're carving off the kernels, right? And then what else are you what else are you adding into it?
I've actually done them where I don't carve off the kernels. I actually leave them whole, and you know, then you just hit it with. I think people hit it with a little bit of like mayonnaise. They'll put a little bit of like the cheese on the outside, some green onions. You know, a little bit of color that you're looking to get on there and, you know, go from there. I even took one and I marinated it in a little bit of, tequila.
Oh, now we're talking.
You're looking at a little bit more. Yeah. If you're looking at a little bit more flavor to it at that point, it's like, why not? It's going to, you know, it helps with a little bit of sugar.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it really does. It adds an extremely great another layer of flavor to it.
You know, I always say sometimes the best guest you can have at a cookout is your friend Jose Cuervo.
That's true.
Somebody on the text line says corn with garlic salt and Lowry's seasoned salt is awesome as well. That sounds good. And give that a try. This is Jeff on the phone line at 312-981-7200. You're on with Dustin Green, Weber Grillmaster.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. So it's not a question necessarily about cooking, but just kind of, you know, Weber gas grill maintenance, you know, just how to clean, you know, what products might be out there, how often to do it,
yeah,
you know, during a season.
That's a good question.
You know, the deflectors always get pretty, you know, caked on. And so just kind of a question about maintenance and cleaning.
No, Jeff, that's a great question. And, you know, what I like to tell people is depending on how much they use the grill will dictate kind of how often you need to clean it. But for me, you know, and I use my grills a lot, but at least twice a year, I try to tear them all the way apart, where I'll take out the grates, I take out the flavorizer bars, I get out the heat deflectors in the bottom. I give the cook box a nice scrape with just like a plastic like putty knife, just to kind of get all that stuff out. I check the orifices to make sure that they're all clear, kind of just give it a once over. And then I'll fire it up, and you know, same thing. I'll hit the heat deflectors really well. We'll clean the flavorizer bars, and then just kind of rebuild it and put it back together.
Yeah, those kind of disposable plastic putty knives. They sell them in the paint section, say at the big home improvement stores. Those are fantastic for scraping the crud out of your grill. And don't you need to do like a kind of a soft steel brush on the burners themselves, Dustin?
If you notice that they're kind of crudded up a little bit, you can. You know, what we do recommend is when you look at the orifice or that hole in it, that you don't want to hit that brush going opposite of the way that it runs, because you just want to hit it going in the same direction, and that'll clean it properly for you.
Yeah, just to get the gook off of it, I guess.
Great. Jeff, thanks, because there was one year where I took the thing apart, and after a couple of years, and that's a rabbit hole to go down once you start taking it apart.
It is, but so worth it. I remember I have a neighbor who did not do any maintenance on his gas grill ever, and it caught on fire once because it was such a mess inside. And, I mean, his house, partially caught on fire as a result. Wow. And ever since then, I am the most meticulous person cleaning my gas grill now, making sure that thing stays nice and clean. Jeff, thank you for the call. Quick break, and we'll be right back with Dustin Green from Weber next. Talking grilling with grill master Dustin Green. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Dustin, a lot of people are very intimidated by doing seafood on the grill. Personally, I think it's one of the easier things to do on the grill. Where do you stand on this?
You know, I'm with you. And, with seafood, with anything else, it really comes down to temperature control and what is that proper temperature to cook it at. And I think that's really what people struggle with. Is knowing, like, they think a grill, you know, it can go so hot. Well, I got to take it that hot when you really don't. And there's a right way to find that happy medium to equate to great food.
So, maybe one of the most common things people are doing seafood wise anyway on the grill is a salmon, whether it's cedar plank or directly on the grill. Walk us through the steps of that to make it turn out perfect.
You know, for me, salmon is, we talked a little bit about it, but it's a direct cook, meaning we're going to put it directly over the fire of the grill. The simple part about it is, once again, and, we talked a little bit about our smart grilling hub, but, our recipes in there are really guided grilling to give people a great experience, but it tells you to oil the fish, hit it with salt and pepper, and then you're going to. You know, part of that process that's the most important is the preheat of the grill and making sure that your grill's ready to go, when you get there. For salmon, I like to go about 475 to, say, 500 degrees. You can go for, call it 450 to 500. With your grill preheated, your grates are going to be clean. And there's kind of two rules of thumb that you can go with salmon. If you like the skin on and you leave the skin on, you can just place your piece of fish directly on the grate. Skin side down, and you can just let the convection heat of that grill really give you just a beautiful roast to it. Or you can go flesh side or the meat side down on the grill, and then you'll have a flip involved with it. So it'll be about a 7 to 8 minutes meat side down. You'll flip it over and then finish it to the doneness temperature that you want.
So you're just putting salt and pepper on it. That's it, huh?
You know, it just gives the salmon such a nice natural flavor to it. You know, I've done it with a blackening spice. You know, there's some great spices that are out there that you can use, even like a little bit of barbecue spice if you want to sauce it up. I mean, it really just depends on what flavors are you looking to go for. We've run the gamut on flavors, you know.
Yeah, my favorite way, I do it kind of a Greek style, salt, pepper, some garlic powder, some paprika. I hit it with some lemon, but I always do it skin side down on the grill and bake it, on the grill on direct heat. And then I would say maybe 7 to 10 minutes, something like that. I get my spatula and it goes right between the flesh of the salmon and the skin comes right off. The skin stays on the grill. The salmon comes right off, doesn't break apart. No, it could not be any simpler. And probably the most popular way I do salmon, salt and pepper, honey Dijon mustard, spread it all over it. Same technique on the grill till it comes off, spatula between the skin and the fillet. And then at the end, once I plate it, I let it rest for about 5 minutes. Cut up finely some fresh dill. Put some fresh dill on there. It's the most amazing salmon you'll ever have in your life.
It sounds great. You know, we're the same in my house, where I said we just put it the skin side down. The ease of being able to just put your spatula in there when it's cooked perfectly and take it off is amazing. You know, in my house, we'll hit it with a little bit of teriyaki sauce. Nice. You know, my kids and my wife, they love teriyaki. So I'll take a teriyaki, mix it with a little bit of hoisin sauce, and baste it in like the last minute that it's going to be on the grill, because those sugars, you don't really want it on there too long.
Right.
And they love it. They absolutely love it.
That's a good idea. I'm gonna do that. I haven't done teriyaki salmon in a long time. I love it. I always forget to do it. Here's Mike on the line at 312-981-7200. Mike, you're on with Dustin Green from Weber.
Hey, Dean. I had a grill cleaning tip for you.
Hit it.
So you heat up your grill. Well, I take that back. You take tinfoil, put it over the grates, turn the grill on high, 5 minutes. Take the tinfoil off, and all the grime and grease and buildup is like dust. And you take your wire brush, and it's clean.
What do you mean you're putting foil on it?
You just put tinfoil right over the grates.
A layer
across the tinfoil. Yeah, and you cover the grates.
Huh.
You know, completely. So sometimes, like, I have a couple big Webers, so you have to double up the foil to cover the whole cooking surface.
Okay.
And then you kind of tuck it in a little bit, because when you turn the burner's on, of course, it wants to push it up.
Right.
And then you just close it. Huh. And you'll see all the smoke come out. It's just purifying and cleaning everything on the grill. And then that just cleans the grates. That's but it. The flavor bars also, if you then do a deep cleaning, there you need a scraper to get all that stuff off. But just to get all the you know, everything from last week's ribs and...
Yeah, just everyday cooking, right. Have you ever heard anything like that, Dustin?
I've seen it done in, you know, some commercial settings, but with Weber's, you know, honestly, really, you can. I don't know if I'd want to, because if you turn your grill on high, it's really, there's enough convection heat and, you know, ambient coming up from the bottom of the grill. It just might take a little bit longer because you're not suppressing that heat under the foil. But, you know, it's, like I said, in about 15 minutes with a preheat on high, you'll get there.
There you go. I appreciate the tip, Mike. Thank you very much. We've got a couple of questions on our text line that maybe we can get through really fast. Somebody is asking, how do you do veggies on the grill without them getting mushy?
You know, that's a great question, because a lot of people, you know, with vegetables, they just don't know, you know, the proper way. And for me, it depends on the vegetable. You know, we have grill baskets you can put on that you preheat like a saute pan. You know, use them for like your cut up like broccoli, your green beans and that kind of stuff. For other types of vegetables that are out there, like zucchinis and squash and, say, carrots and that kind of stuff, I like to cut them into planks. So if I take a zucchini and I cut it lengthwise into about 3/4-inch thick slices,
yeah,
then you're kind of grilling it like you would a steak or a piece of chicken breast or all that, where it's just a direct grilling on the grate. You take it off and you can cut it up into your desired pieces.
Yeah, and I think the thing to remember there is what Dustin said before. It's going to continue to cook after you take it off. That may be where you're getting the mushiness is overcooking. So if you take it off a little sooner, get your grill marks on there, but take it off a little before that it's done, because I like my veggies still a little crunchy after they come off the grill. So maybe, you know, undercook a little bit. It's going to continue to cook by the time you get it on the table, that's for sure. I got a dasher because we're got to get to the news. Dustin, if people want to get more information, Weber.com, is that the best place?
It is, Weber.com. We have all kinds of great recipes, tips, videos to help people get from point A to point B.
Good deal. Always good to talk to you. I hope we can do it again soon. Have a great holiday weekend, my friend.
You too. Take care.